From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Malone, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. I'm Abby Malone. I'm joined today by Jeff Watts, the president of the Southeast Market and Commercial Banking for Bank Leumi USA. Jeff, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you, Abby. I really appreciate the invitation and look forward to our conversation.
So we'll be talking a lot about how the economy has shifted greatly due to the pandemic, and we'll be looking at the new norms that have been created, this new landscape that we find ourselves in. But speaking of new, I wanted to ask you, what are some new personal norms that you found yourself doing in the pandemic that you will continue in this post-pandemic landscape, whether it's hobbies or interests or technology?
Sure. So for me, I have long been an avid runner. So I decided with so many local outdoor activities in South Florida, I would adopt cycling a couple days a week.
Sure.
And then my wife, who is an avid Bikram yoga advocate and, you know, practitioner, I have adopted yoga once a week as well.
Okay.
Starting at home. Now we're back in the studio, but we were pretty focused on doing it at home a good 18 months ago.
While rates are low and loans are cheap, the economy-wide effect seems to be net positive. Although for the banking sector, this causes margins to decrease and the profitability of lending lowers. What strategies have Bank Leumi employed to continue to remain profitable in Florida?
Sure. So great question. Very relevant topic in terms of margin compression. And I think when you're a smaller bank, you're more dependent on lending. But thankfully for us, we have a full suite of ancillary services that generate revenue as well. So we have good revenue diversity. And strategically for our team, we've been focused on really driving quality loan volume to higher levels above budget, which we're above plan right now. I expect to be above plan full year. But I think the way we get there is very important. We are super targeted in our business. So you look at commercial real estate, which is one of our businesses, commercial and industrial, healthcare, tech. We are very laser focused on specific asset classes or industry subsectors where we have expertise, and that expertise, it allows us to really be thoughtful with the business owner, be strategic, and advise the company on a structure that's going to work. So I think the targeted nature of our go-to-market strategy is really paying off. That's really fueling the higher volumes. And then on the other side of the coin, for a bank of our size, we offer cash management, trade finance, foreign exchange, private wealth management. So we have the complementary products to drive revenue, which augments any lending revenue decline because of that margin compression you mentioned. So I think that those are a few things we're doing on both non-lending and lending side. And we're just really visible right now in front of the right decision makers where we can add value.
With the ongoing disruption to the global supply chain paired with the reopening of the economy on a massive scale, the idea that we will see a level of inflation and higher interest rates is a real possibility. How do you prepare your operations and your clientele to deal with these potential realities?
So another apropos topic right now, I think supply chain comes up literally in every single conversation with a business owner. And it's a multitude of issues. You look at cost increases, be it labor, materials, shipping, and the delays of shipping. And supply chains are worldwide. So that's put pressure on a company's cash cycle or impacted revenue where a company may not be able to deliver a product or what have you on time. So there's pressure points. And when I look at our portfolio, I think there's two groups of companies. One group, which is the larger, they tend to have ample liquidity, whether that's, you know, a deliberate, intentional move over the course of time, the past 12 months. Stimulus or what have you, and they've withstanded those pressures really well. So we advise them not only on financing, but cash management solutions as well. The other group, Abby, I think is the type of company that tends to operate with less in the way of liquidity. And for those companies, we offer very thoughtful asset-based lending structures. And, you know, this is where I think our value proposition comes out. We're very much a middle market bank. So being able to engage with a business owner in a targeted effort, ask the right questions, demonstrate the expertise, and structure a credit facility that gives that company the liquidity that they need currently in this environment helps that company withstand the cash cycle pressures as a result of supply chain, which ties into inflationary pressures as well. And I think everybody's watching rates, consumer price increases. I think the Fed's on top of it. I think the supply chain issues will correct themselves Q4, Q1 as the pandemic and the vaccinations roll out worldwide. But those are some of the things that we're seeing and problems we're solving.
Bank Leumi has a strong presence in commercial real estate. And while the market is hot, it's always important to keep your finger on the pulse. That said, what are some of the market factors that you keep a close watch on? And how are you strategizing to adapt these potential market shift changes?
So I think if you're banking in South Florida, you're financing commercial real estate, which we definitely are. And targeted is probably a theme today in this conversation. We're very specific in what we do in terms of our real estate core competencies. So we're very focused on multifamily, which is about 75% of our real estate portfolio. Workforce housing, Class C, Class B properties, value add situations, and industrial. We're not really active in office or retail. So we stay focused. And the market metrics that you're referring to, when we look at multifamily, the absorption rates are very attractive right now. I think the last I read, both Dade and Broward absorbed 5,000 units per county, which is more than the new inventory delivered. So that's a very important metric. Rent increases are occurring 5 to 7% in South Florida. The occupancy above 90% in our book. Collections are strong. So those are some of the key metrics. And I think the metrics are one thing, but really what's driving it is the demographics. And you know as well as I do, the demographics were favorable pre-COVID. They became even more attractive during COVID, but that's not a phenomenon. I think there's a good 5, 7, 10 years ahead of us of Florida being a net receiver of people. We take in 800 people per day in our state, according to the chamber in Tallahassee. And then you look at corporate relocations, which has really grabbed headlines lately. But the reality is, as you know, Abby, the Beacon Council in Dade County, the Chamber, the Alliance in Fort Lauderdale, all of these groups have been attracting companies to Florida well before COVID. So I think the demographics bode well, drives real estate. And for us, it's really following our sponsors when they're acquiring new properties, acquiring new sponsors with adding talent to our team. And we've grown the team. We have a very talented new real estate banker who's driven growth. And then our footprint, we have offices in New York, Chicago, and LA. So we have connectivity to relationships, sponsors that want to and are investing here in Florida.
And now that we find ourselves in this new economy, this new landscape, what's next for Bank Leumi USA and the banking and finance sector overall?
So for us, you could probably tell I'm very bullish on the next 3 to 5 years in Florida. And frankly, the next decade, I think we offer so much to new residents and our local communities. And what excites me when I think about our business, our operating model, our core businesses are very aligned to the growth opportunities in Florida. Real estate, commercial, industrial, healthcare, and technology. We didn't even really unpack technology here, but that's a main pillar of our bank. So we're set up, I think, to be very competitive and be that go-to relationship bank in the middle market. And I think if we're just perfecting what we do, meaning that targeted emphasis, we believe there's other institutional areas of knowledge and expertise where we can be more targeted and win more business and add value. And I think the other two things, one is investing in our culture. So I know it sounds cliche, but our culture is really a competitive advantage. We attract great talent, and we were just named a Fortune 2021 best workplace, literally the only bank out of 60 companies in that category, certified great place to work. And I think for a bank of our size, there's a big attraction in terms of bankers that want to be in a boutique environment.
What do you attribute to that accolade?
So I really believe that this bank, as a $7 billion bank, 7-8 years ago, our CEO based in New York, Avner Mendelson, took a long-term view on the business. And he's our strategic and cultural leader. And all of our state leaders and executive team locked arms on investing in our culture. That's technology, it's people, it's systems. So I really believe that the long-term view we have in terms of our ability to compete today started 7 years ago. And we have transformational programs that are positioning us to compete down the road. And everything starts and ends with the people behind the scenes. So I think that's really the key ingredient.
You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Malone. Thank you for tuning in.